Well, happy birthday, Roger. 70. At one time, I would have thought 70 was pretty old, but the closer I get to it, that don't seem so old anymore. I hope you had a good one, and I hope that everybody else had a beautiful day in the Lord. I know I did. It's couldn't hardly wait to get on. Yeah, y'all know better than that. Anyway, tonight I'm going to be Ephesians study continuation. I'm not like Ronnie and him. I can't tell you what number it is because I quit counting 2 years ago, I think it was. But I'm into the panoply of God, the armor of God, and I'm going to be doing Ephesians 6:16 tonight, and I could be a little bit louder. Let's see, I don't know, I think I've got everything turned up about all I can. You just might have to turn your speakers up, Melanie, but I'll see if I can't talk a little louder. Let's start out tonight with a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for all the blessings that we receive in it. And Lord, we thank you for giving our brother Roger another birthday. Lord, he is such a blessing to me as well as every saint that is on this board and in this room. And Lord, we thank you for that that you did for us on the cross, dear Lord, and for that that you did for us from before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you for this armor studying on. Lord, we thank you for the protection that you offer us from the fiery darts, from the evil works. Lord, all we have to do is just think on you, and we can have all the protection that we need. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I deliver this message and give nothing but edification for your word and uplifting of the body of Christ. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. But, I'm going to be doing Ephesians 6:16 tonight. I sent out an email earlier. I don't know if anybody got it. That's the first time I sent out a multiple email like that. See if I get a hands up of people that might have got it. Did you get it, Gary? Okay. Barney got it. And I'm going to be going just about exactly by that, even though I have changed up a couple of things actually since then. But that's pretty much going to be my study tonight. And to start out, I want to take up in 6:13 and read through 6:16. It says, the apostle says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor or panoply of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And tonight study, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now this, in the interlinear it says, besides all, having taken up the shield of faith. This shield is not any ordinary shield. A lot of people, myself included, when you think of the shield or the ones you see on TV that you just hold up like an armory and it's about 2 foot by, say, a foot and a half wide, 2 foot long. Well, this is the shape of a door. It's huge. It could cover the entire body. And the Strong's number is 2375. That's Thurios. It's a large shield, it's door-shaped, and this is the only place in the New Testament where shield is used. And the apostle pushes it forth here that you use this shield above every other part of this armor that you have. And in my study, I'm going to be pressing on is that this shield, just like every other part of this armor, is Christ. This shield is God. This shield is the Holy Spirit that we use, or the apostle is putting forth for the Ephesians and believers and saints to use. In Genesis 15:1, to start back at an earlier time using the shield, I'm going to be going through a good bit of Psalms. In one verse in Genesis 15:1, this here is after Abram had done met with Melchizedek and the king of Salem and the king of Sodom after having rescued Lot, also his brother's son, or simply his relative. In Genesis 15:1, after these things came the word of the Lord to come to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." And here it is. "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So this is just before Abram hadn't had any children yet, and he's about to tell Abram that he's about to be the father of nations. In Psalms, I've got 14 Psalms here that I'm going to briefly go through. And it's kind of ironic that I just counted them. I didn't know how many I had until a while ago when I sat here and looked at them. But I have 14 Psalms that are in reference to the shield as far as God being the shield, or the Lord being our shield, or David's shield. In Psalms 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." In Psalms 5, I'm going to read 11-12. "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them." David is talking about God. "Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." And in 12, "For thou, O Lord, wilt bless with righteousness. With favor wilt thou come him as with a shield." The Lord, David's seen how the Lord God was the shield over him. In Psalms 18:35, "Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." In Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my shield, my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." In Psalms 33, it's going to be 20, but I'm going to read 18-20. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." And 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalms 59, the verses in 11, but I'm going to read 9 through 11. Because of His strength will I wait upon Thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by Thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. You see, in 10 there, it says, the mercy of God shall go before me, and thus help me in all the doings. In verse 80, in Psalms 84, 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. Psalms 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give Him grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from walk uprightly. See, David could see the blessings that the Lord was giving him. In these few verses, he's talking about the shield, God being his shield, and God being the shield of them as a buckler in 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feather, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. In Psalms 15:9-11, it's used 3 times here. 15:9-11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is our help and their shield. Their shield. Their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. In Psalms 119:13-16, in the verses 14 that I'm looking at. Samech, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I do love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Well, did I get that? Yep. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me be not ashamed of my hope. In Psalms 144:1-2, the verses in 2, a psalm of David, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. In 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He, God, in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Those verses in Psalms point out the importance of understanding the shield. This is David speaking to Israel, his people. But we can use this verse to see how important or what the shield is. The shield that Paul is talking about in Ephesians is the same shield. He's just telling it to a different people. In Proverbs 30, I'm going to read the whole of Proverbs 30. And in verse 5 is the verse in which the shield is used. But as I was looking over this Proverbs of 30, it fell it fell into play as to Ephesians 6:16. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So I just felt it important to read the entire proverb. And this is a proverb of Agur's, the confession of faith. This isn't a proverb of David or Samson. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? In 5, every word of God is pure. He, God, is a shield unto them that put their trust in him for his son. Because Agur notices that God has a son here in 4. In 6, add thou not unto his works, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. 2 things have I required of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me the vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal. 7-9 is his prayer. Steal and take the name of thy God in vain. And then 10-14 is of the wicked generations. And 10, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee. Thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. This seems like today, don't it? And in 15-16, things that are never satisfied. In 15, the horse latch hath $2, crying, give, give. There are 3 things that are never satisfied. Yea, 4 things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. And in 17 is him who despises his parents. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. And in here we have 18-20, which are wonderful things. There be 3 things which are too wonderful for me, yea, 4 which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. See that every day. In 21 through 23, we have three things that disquiet the land. In 21, for three things that the earth is disquieted, and four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And 24 through 28 is little but very intelligent animals. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies, are like little rabbits or little chipmunks, are but a feeble folk. They make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all from them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is a king's palace. Here we have four things that go well in 31. There be three things which go well, yea, four are coming and going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. And in 32, a man should cease from doing foolishly and from strife. If thou hast done in 32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringing forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringing forth blood. So forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. I felt it needy to read Proverbs 30 in its entirety, because even though this was written thousands of years ago, there is just so much truth in there that is happening today. And in Ephesians 6, above all, we take the shield of faith, where we're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The word faith, the Strong's number 4102, is pistis. It's moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God. Especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Constantly in such profession, by extension, the system of religious gospel truth itself. Assurance, belief, believe, faith, and fidelity. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I kind of put that one up front and got it out of place, and I apologize for that, Gary. But I felt it important to get that one out of the way, that so many people today use the wisdom of men as their faith. In the churches that are on every corner, the congregation trust that preacher as speaking their faith. They have the faith that he has, not in what they own have. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where our faith should. 24 times the word faith is used in Hebrews 11 alone. 24 times. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, naturally has faith more than any other book in the Bible. But in Hebrews 11, 1-3, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For it is by the elders that obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the Word of God. We can go down through Hebrews 11. Let me just look at a couple of them here. Hebrews 11, where it says, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah. And it just goes on and on and on. Through faith in 3, we understand that the world were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him, that diligently seek Him. And in 11:34, Paul speaks of quenching the violence of fire. He's speaking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, where they quenched the fire. They went into the furnace and didn't get the hair singed on them. But he says, the believers quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned flight the armies of the aliens. Paul is speaking of all the faithful in God that followed His word, followed His command, and were valiant. They were able to beat armies, to withstand fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything we have around us are seen. We can lay our hands on it. But everything that is of real importance, the only way we can put a finger on it is to touch this Bible. That is real. This is something that we can lay our hands on and take it by faith that God's Word is sure. We rest assured that God will resurrect those that believe in Him, as in John 3:16. And we take, as members of the body of Christ, we take by faith that we are dead and with Him now. In Galatians 2:16, knowing that not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believing in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You can't get no stronger faith in a person than the faith that was in Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But by the faith in Christ, you are justified. And looking into truth for today, we get into the Philippians book, Philippians 3, 5 through 10. Paul speaking of himself, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. See, Paul was Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was touching the law that the Pharisees understood. Paul was considered blameless. But in 7, but what things were gained to me, the position that he could have had, what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. In 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That would be Christ. The faith, through the faith of Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, and be made conformable to His death. In Colossians 2:12, we see that being buried with Him, baptism, wherein you are risen with Him through the faith and operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. I read Ephesians 6:16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What better shield could we have than to be having Christ as our shield? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that quench is spinumi. It's to extinguish or to go out or to quench. And the fiery darts. This dart is belos. It's a missile, a spear, or arrow. And it's only here also. So, this isn't just a tiny, to throw at a dartboard we're talking about. Even though, just reading it, you just kind of, in my mind, that's what you just think of when you see the word dart. Because I throw darts. So you automatically think, well, those are little things, it's going to stick and it's going to hurt. But these are fiery darts that in Old Testament Scripture are considered spears or arrows. The fiery darts of the wicked are evil thoughts and strong injections, as they are termed, which inflame the passions and excite the soul in acts of transgression. While the faith is strong in Christ, it acts as a shield to quench all these. He who walked so as to feel the witness of God's Spirit, that he is his child, has all evil thoughts and abhorrence, and though they pass through his mind, they never fix in his passions. They are caught in the shield. They are caught in the shield that are blunted and extinguished. They are caught in Christ. If we just constantly think on Christ as our shield, when these crazy thoughts come into our mind, to watch an innocent TV program, and God knows what comes on in front of you, we just quench it out. Pay it no mind. When we quench, it's the darts of Satan are not only sharp and penetrating, but more destructive. They are fiery, and faith will be found capable. The faith of Christ, you're going to be found capable to quench these darts. Not only making them dull, but quenching their heat. We as body members of Christ, the best way I can explain it to someone who may not know is that our witness and our testimony, we are the body of Christ. If we allow those flaming darts to penetrate, and you fall for some of the whatever trash that Satan throws at you, somebody is going to see this, and it's going to hurt the body of Christ's testimony, because you are the body of Christ. I've been believers who have destroyed their testimony, because they've allowed lust or drunkenness to fall into their testimony and destroy it. And even though to them they didn't hurt anybody, but to those that seen them afar off says, I don't want that kind of religion. And they use that. So that hurts the testimony of that person, and most of all, it hurts the testimony of Christ, because as we, the members of the body of Christ, we are to use this shield. We are to walk in His righteousness, because we are an example. Not to be arguing, but to speak in a pleasant tone when discussing Scripture with others. One place in First Timothy 4:1, Roger spoke on the other night. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Those that depart from the faith, you wonder if they had it to start with. Giving heed to seducing spirits and of devils. Those people are not rooted in God's Word. Because to be rooted in God's Word, you don't have to worry about leaving the faith of the body. In Titus 1:16, they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. In 2 Timothy 2:16 to 18, Paul is telling Timothy to shun and profane vain babblings, for they will increase more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. But we can really say that traditional churches today have the resurrection is past already, and have already overthrown the faith of millions, because they preached that the resurrection is past already, without studying Scripture and showing truth. In Colossians 3:5-10, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Fornication. That mortify is to put to death. This is to put to bed. Put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanliness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For those things sake the wrath of God cometh on children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now, Gentiles, but now, body members, but now, believers in God's Word, but now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. These are fiery darts. These are all fiery darts, because they are destruction to the body. And have put on the new man, the shield of Christ. The new man is Christ. The new man is the shield that we are to put on. This shield is important. It's probably one of the, I hate to say it's one of the most important parts of the armor, because they're all equal, because they're all Christ. That you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, I pretty much went over the different wrath and malice. All that comes from the old man. And the wicked is poneros, and it's hurtful. Mischief, malice, just of so many different words for it. In Ephesians 4:28-32, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Here it is again, same as in Colossians. "But that which is good to the use of edifying." That's our task, is to edify, uplift body members, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Again, just like it said in Colossians, with all malice. Hate everything that is evil. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." In 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." In Ephesians 2:2, Bob was speaking the other night, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience," that I've been speaking on all night. "Thou shalt not surely die" is a common lie. among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, wherein by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Naturally, yes, Paul is talking about at the time you were once Gentiles, and then he goes on and saying, but now are a new man. Just one more example of faith that Christ had when dealing with the devil in Matthew 4:1-11. And I'll be close to done. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. It's kind of funny that in a conversation today with other believers, we was having this came up. And it's just a coincidence that I already had it in my study to present tonight. But it was said that a normal man after 21 days is dead of not eating. We just have to see that Christ was not a normal man. He was the Son of God, so he could withhold more. But he had the faith. He had the faith of God. And we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter, Satan, came in, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And Christ answered, it is written. Christ is using God's word against Satan. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he brings that up from Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Talking about Israel. Neither did thy fathers know that he make known to thee that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Then we go to verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him in a pinnacle of the temple after Christ has done quenched one of the darts. Christ has just quenched one of the darts of Satan's lies. But he setteth him up at the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Christ, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. That word, it is written, Satan can quote Scripture and garble it by omitting the essential words, to keep thee in all thy ways, and by adding, at any time. This is quoted from Psalms 91:11-12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him again, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Put out another dart, which is spoken of in Deuteronomy. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. And again, the devil taking him up, eating high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto Christ, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, And I'm sure Christ looked him in the face and said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then Satan left. Then the angels came and ministered. Christ is able to quench any dart Satan throws. As long as we hold the shield of faith, we can too. Ephesians 3:17. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And in Colossians 2:8, the last verse, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That is our biggest enemy, is the rudiments and traditions of the world. Satan. All we have to do is just allow Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith and be rooted and grounded in love. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, again. Can't thank you enough for your love. For the shield that you give us, Lord, which is you. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your word and the power of it. And all these things I ask in Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.